Part 5. Life Perceptions.
What is the meaning of my life? Not finding an explanation in science, I began to seek for it in life itself, hoping to find it among the people around me, and I began to observe how the people around me, people like myself, lived, and what their attitude was to this question which had brought me to despair. I found that for people of my circle, there were four ways out of the terrible position in which we are all placed. The first was that of ignorance. It consists in not knowing, not understanding that life is an evil and an absurdity. People of this sort, chiefly women or very young or very dull people, have not yet understood that question of life which presented itself to Schopenhauer, Solomon, and Buddha. They see neither the dragon that awaits them, nor the mice gnawing the shrub by which they are hanging, and they lick the drops of honey. But they lick those drops of honey only for a while. Something will turn their attention to the dragon and the mice, and there will be an end of their licking. From them I had nothing to learn. One cannot cease to know what one does know. The second way out is Epicureanism. It consists, while knowing the hopelessness of life, in making use meanwhile of the advantages one has, disregarding the dragon and the mice, and licking the honey in the best way, especially if there's much of it within reach. Solomon expresses this way out thus: Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, and that this should accompany him in his labour the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. Therefore eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. For this is thy portion in life, and in thy labours which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, or device, or knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. That is the way in which the majority of people of our circle make life possible for themselves. Their circumstances furnish them with more of welfare than of hardship, and their moral dullness makes it possible for them to forget that the advantage of their position is accidental, and that not everyone can have 1,000 wives like Solomon, that for everyone who has 1,000 wives, there are 1,000 without a wife at all, and that for each palace there are 1,000 people who have to build it in the sweat of their brows, and that the accident that has today made me a Solomon may tomorrow make me a Solomon slave. The dullness of these people's imagination enables them to forget the things that gave Buddha no peace, the inevitability of sickness, old age, and death, which today or tomorrow will destroy all these pleasures. The fact that some of these people declare the dullness of their thoughts and imaginations to be a philosophy, which they call positive, does not remove them, in my opinion, from the ranks of those who, to avoid seeing the question, lick the honey. I could not imitate these people. Not having their dullness of imagination, I could not artificially produce it in myself. I could not tear my eyes from the mice and the dragon, as no vital man can after he has once seen them. The third escape is that of strength and energy. It consists in destroying life when one has understood that it is an evil and an absurdity. A few exceptionally strong and consistent people act so, having understood the stupidity of the joke that has been played on them, and having understood that it is better to be dead than to be alive, and it is best of all not to exist, they act accordingly and promptly end this stupid joke, since there are means. A rope around one's neck, water, a knife to stick into one's heart, or the trains on the railways. And the number of those of our circle who act in this way becomes greater and greater, and for the most part, they act so at the best time of their life, when the strength of their mind is in full bloom, and few habits degrading to the mind have as yet been acquired. I saw that this was the worthiest way of escape, and I wish to adopt it. The fourth way out is that of weakness. It consists in seeing the truth of the situation and yet clinging to life, knowing in advance that nothing can come of it. People of this kind know that death is better than life, but not having the strength to act rationally, to end the deception quickly and kill themselves, they seem to wait for something. This is the escape of weakness. For if I know it is best and it is within my power, why not yield to what is best? I found myself in that category. So people of my class evade the terrible contradiction in four ways. One way is not to understand that life is senseless vanity and an evil, and that it is better not to live. I could not help knowing this, and when I once knew it, could not shut my eyes to it. The second way was to use life such as it is without thinking of the future, and I could not do that. I, like Shakyamuni, could not ride out hunting when I knew that old age, suffering, and death exist. My imagination was too vivid. Nor could I rejoice in the momentary accidents that for an instant threw pleasure to my lot. The third way, having understood that life is evil and stupid, was to end it by killing oneself. I understood that, but still did not kill myself. The fourth way was to live like Solomon and Schopenhauer, knowing that life is a stupid joke played upon us, and still to go on living, washing oneself, dressing, dining, talking, and even writing books. This was to me repulsive and tormenting, but I remained in that position. I see now that if I did not kill myself, it was due to some dim consciousness of the invalidity of my thoughts. However convincing and indubitable appeared to me the sequence of my thoughts, and of those of the wise that have brought us to the admission of the senselessness of life, there remained in me a vague doubt about the justice of my conclusion. It was like this. I, my reason, have acknowledged that life is senseless. If there is nothing higher than reason, and there is not, nothing can prove that there is, then reason is the creator of life for me. If reason did not exist, there would be for me no life. How can reason deny life when it is the creator of life? Or to put it the other way, were there no life, my reason would not exist. Therefore reason is life's sun, life is all, reason is its fruit, yet reason rejects life itself. I felt that there was something wrong here. Life is a senseless evil, that is certain, said I to myself. Yet I have lived and am still living, and all mankind lived and lives. How is that? Why does it live when it is possible not to live? Is it that only I and Schopenhauer are wise enough to understand the senselessness and evil of life? The reasoning showing the vanity of life is not so difficult, and has long been familiar to the very simplest folk, yet they have lived and still live. How is it they all live and never think of doubting the reasonableness of life? My knowledge, confirmed by the wisdom of the sages, has shown me that everything on earth, organic and inorganic, is almost cleverly arranged. Only my own position is stupid. And those fools, the enormous masses of people, know nothing about how everything organic and inorganic in the world is arranged. But they live, and it seems to me that their life is very wisely arranged. And it struck me. But what if there is something that I do not yet know? Ignorance behaves just in that way. Ignorance always says just what I am saying. When it does not know something, it says that what it does not know is stupid. Indeed, it appears that there is a whole humanity that lived and lives as if it understood the meaning of its life, for without understanding it, it could not live. But I say that all this life is senseless and that I cannot live. Nothing prevents our denying life by suicide. Well, then kill yourself and you won't discuss. If life displeases you, kill yourself. You live and cannot understand the meaning of life, then finish it. and do not fool about in life, saying and writing that you do not understand it. You have come into good company, where people are contented and know what they are doing. If you find it dull and repulsive, go away. Indeed, what are we who are convinced of the necessity of suicide, yet do not decide to commit it, but the weakest, most inconsistent, and to put it plainly, the stupidest of men, fussing about with our own stupidity as a fool fusses with a painted hussy? For our wisdom, however indubitable it may be, has not given us the knowledge of the meaning of our life, but all mankind who sustain life, millions of them, do not doubt the meaning of life. Indeed, from the most distant times of which I know anything, when life began, people have lived knowing the argument about the vanity of life which has shown me its senselessness, and yet they lived attributing some meaning to it. From the time when any life began among men, they had that meaning of life, and they led that life which has descended to me. All that is in me and around me, all corporeal and incorporeal, is the fruit of their knowledge of life. Those very instruments of thought with which I consider this life and condemn it were all devised not by me, but by them. I myself was born, taught, and brought up thanks to them. They dug out the iron, taught us to cut down the forests, tamed the cows and horses, taught us to sow corn and to live together, organized our life, and taught me to think and speak. And I, their product, fed, supplied with drink, taught by them, thinking with their thoughts and words, have argued that they are an absurdity. There is something wrong, said I to myself. I have blundered somewhere. But it was a long time before I could find out where the mistake was. I then only felt that however logically inevitable were my conclusions concerning the vanity of life, confirmed as they were by the greatest thinkers, there was something not right about them. Whether it was in the reasoning itself or in the statement of the question, I did not know. I only felt that the conclusion was rationally convincing, but that was insufficient. The conclusion could not so convince me as to make me do what followed from my reasoning. That is to say, kill myself.